Rob and Mike here at Think Smart with TMFG. Today's October 31st. Happy Halloween, everyone. Today we're going to start off by talking about some of the conferences we attended in the last month. Rob was at a conference by Nick Murray. Nick Murray, in our industry, is the profound expert on investor behavior. And we love hearing him. Rob goes to see him at least, well, I think, once a quarter to go and get details on how people react to different conditions on the markets and how people think. We've realized over the year years it's a big part of our job is understanding how the human mind works and how it takes in information. So I'm going to let Rob talk a bit about some of the stuff that was discussed there.
So I've been following Nick for probably about 22, 23 years of my career. And, you know, probably the biggest thing that I find is he has a true understanding of how markets work, but he also has a better understanding of human behavior and how investors think. And so I get down typically once a year to New York for a one-day conference. More importantly, he publishes this amazing newsletter that I get every month. It's 8 pages, and it is probably the best document I get from anywhere. So I was down a couple of weeks ago, and Nick always has some great quotes. I sort of went through them with you. What quote stuck out in your mind as probably the best one?
Best one I heard was, a lot of times we talk about balanced portfolios. And it was the one quote that a globally balanced portfolio never gives you a great year, but will give you a great life. And it's something we've been frustrated with for years, because when you're in a balanced portfolio, it can never be the best. I guess we've always wanted to win, right?
Yeah.
And over this mentality of always trying to win, every year you want to be in the best asset group, because you always feel guilty when someone's outperforming you. But the reality is, each year, that group that outperforms changes, and it's very difficult to tell which one. So instead of going with this envy of the great asset group for that year, your best bet is to have a balanced portfolio. And at the end of a 10-year period or 15, 20-year, at the end of your lifetime, you're going to have had a decent investment experience rather than chasing this tail that everyone chases all through their life.
You know, the one drawback I found with active management is some years you'd be the star and the next year you were on the bottom. And clients didn't like being on the bottom. I didn't like being on the bottom.
Yeah. A big thing is asking that we've had to ask ourselves in the last bunch of years is, what exactly is our job? Is our job to give everyone the best performance in each individual year? Or is it to create a decent retirement for them and take care of them for the rest of their lives? And they're really two different objectives.
Absolutely. One of the other concepts that he talked about, you know, we're going through a correction in the month of October this year, and the market has pulled back sort of 10% since the beginning of the month. And he talked about that human beings are wired to notice danger.
Yep.
And so he said, you know, if you go back to when we were cavemen and we were out in the wild, and if you heard a noise, if you heard some rustling in the grass, you immediately assumed it was a lion and you ran as fast as you can.
It's a survival instinct.
It absolutely is. So what happens with investing is people do the same. If they hear some market turbulence, things go down, you know, the Dow dropped 500 points today or 2%, they assume it's the lion.
Yep.
And so what do? They stop investing. They call their advisor, or if they're doing it by themselves, they may even move some of their money to cash. But most of the time, it's not a lion. It's just the wind blowing the grass. And so Nick just talked about this. We're wired for that. And so why do you need an advisor? Is you need someone to tell you that they don't know whether it's a lion or not, But they say most of the time you're better off not running. And if you try running, the lion's going to catch you anyways.
Yeah, and again, it's the things we can control and the things we can't control. We don't have control over the markets, but we can control how people react to these things. So again, it goes back to understanding people.
So in the last week, I've had a couple of clients say to me, well, where do you think the market's going, given that we've had this downturn? What's your response to that?
Yeah, you know, I've got the question quite a bit too. And the difficult thing is, in the short term, we don't know, and it doesn't really matter. There's two pieces of that. Because over the next 5 years, I know there's going to be market correction. I can guarantee that. I don't know if it's going to be now, or I don't know if it's going to be a year from now, or 3 years from now, or 5 years from now. But we know there's going to be one somewhere along the line. Whether it happens now or whether it happens later is irrelevant. And that's where I always sit back, because it is very difficult to tell any of this stuff beforehand. Market corrections are always identified after the fact, never before the fact.
What's interesting is when you look in the rearview mirror, you can see, oh, some of the signs were there, but the reality is you probably missed them, because the signs are always different.
To be honest, if you asked me 3 years ago where we were at, I was looking for a market correction there. It never happened. So I've learned to not go with these gut feelings that you have that there's going to be a market correction. There's always a good reason for a market correction. Whether it sustains itself and actually comes through, you never find out after the fact. Question for you. You've been at Nick for a while. And I know one of Nick's big things is about stocks. Why stocks?
So why stocks? He's a big believer in stocks. He believes that you keep 2 years' supply of cash, maybe 10% cash, and the rest of it in stocks. And so he gives a simple example. When you were a kid and you went down to the variety store and wanted to go buy, what's your favorite candy bar?
I'd be Kit Kat.
Kit Kat. So what would a Kit Kat cost when you were, 8 years old?
Probably about 25 cents.
About 25 cents. Well, I'm a little older than you, so I still remember going down and getting a candy bar for 10 cents. I don't know what happened between, I guess there was really high inflation between when I was 8 years old and when you were 8 years old. But so what would that Kit Kat cost today?
I think it's about 2.25.
Okay. So if you had put your money in cash and you had held on to that 25 cent piece and you got it sitting in a piggy bank, does it do you much good today?
Yeah, quarters don't buy you much anymore.
You couldn't even buy one of the little pieces of a Kit Kat.
Can't even play a video game anymore.
I think there's 5 pieces, aren't there? You couldn't even afford one of those.
And if you saved your penny, you couldn't even use it anymore.
Because it's gone.
Yeah.
So let's look at a real life situation. I know you're in between houses and you've decided to rent for a year.
Yep.
What are you paying a month?
Pay $2,300 a month.
If you stayed in that house, in that house you're in for another 10 years, what do you think it would probably cost you?
Realistically, probably $3,500 to $4,000.
So let's say you're 60 years old, you'd retired, and you decided I need to fix my income so that I can pay all my expenses. So I have fixed investments so that I can pay my $2,300 in rent.
Yep.
10 years from now, are you still living in that same house?
No.
Why not?
Can't afford it. You're now living in an apartment.
Because you fixed your income at $2,300, the only way to pay your $3,500 is to use up capital. If you use up capital, you'll have even less income the next year.
Basically, it's like a systematic downsizing. If you're gonna live on a fixed income and it's not moving or going up with inflation, you're gonna have to downsize your lifestyle along the way. And no one likes to downsize their lifestyle. We talked about this before. We talk about, it's always our star comment. Once you stay in a 4-star hotel, you don't wanna stay in a 3-star anymore. So it's very hard to move backwards. And when people fix their income, inflation forces them to lower their standard of living, which isn't what you want to do in your senior years. That's time to enjoy your life, right?
I guess so. Back to the question of why stocks. The real reason is stocks over time get you double the return after inflation that you're going to get from fixing your income in cash or bonds.
Absolutely, and they always have. I mean, over time, it always pays off.
Well, you know, I guess at the end of the day, going to these conferences, I think, has been a big help for me managing client behavior. I love these conversations. I look forward to getting together again with you in a week and seeing what we come up with then.
Absolutely. Enjoy and have a great day.